Welcome to the Let's Get Vulnerable podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Morgan Anderson, psychologist, relationship coach, attachment theory expert, creator of the ESL relationship method, author of Love Magnet, and athletic wear connoisseur. My mission is to help you raise your self-worth, have great relationships, and step confidently into the next level of your life. Each week, two episodes will air featuring expert advice, live coaching, and tips showing you exactly how to improve your life and attract a healthy relationship. You deserve to feel empowered, secure, and loved. Buckle up and let's get vulnerable. Welcome. This is going to be a really special episode. This one went long, so I just want to prepare you. This is Everything Love is Blind. If you've been watching it, we go over everything that happened, the finale, every couple, what you could learn from each couple. And of course, we get into the juicy attachment style dynamics because I'm an attachment theory expert. And that was really fun for me to analyze every couple in that way. And I'm joined by my good friend, Layla. Layla is an entrepreneur, the owner of PS Studios and PS Creative. She is the proud owner of Arizona's number one podcast and content creation studio, PS Studios, along with the esteemed creative agency. She balances her time between Dallas, Texas, and Scottsdale, and Layla is deeply committed to her passions outside of work. You'll often find her skiing, coaching boxing, exploring new destinations, indulging in her love for golf, and of course, watching Love is Blind. Layla's a good friend of mine. She helped me rebrand my podcast, and her and I have always texted back and forth about what's going on at Love is Blind. So she was the perfect person to have on for this episode, and she asks me so many juicy questions, and I know that you're going to love this episode. And then also, if you want to check out Layla, I'll put her contact information in the show notes. But I hope you enjoy this episode, and if you haven't watched Love is Blind, this might make you want to watch it. And I will say this, even if you're not watching, I think you can still get a lot out of this episode because we give you enough context to apply this to your relationship. The other thing I want to say, this is really important to say, these are real humans. This is a entertainment show, right? This is for the drama is curated and we only see the edits that create more drama. So I just want to acknowledge the things that I'm saying, my hot takes. This is all based off of what I saw, and I know that there's more to the story. And these are real humans, and they're doing the best that they can. So I just want to acknowledge I have so much compassion for the contestants and their way that they're showing up and they're being vulnerable. They're on this national, TV show being vulnerable. So I never want to come from a place of judgment. And at the same time, it's really helpful to look at their relationships and learn from their mistakes. So I hope this episode helps you do that. And let's get into it. It's a juicy one. Welcome, everyone, to a very special episode of the Let's Get Vulnerable podcast. This is part three of our Love is Blind series. And I'm joined by my good friend, Layla, who is just like you. She is watching Love is Blind. And she doesn't have the clinical background, but she has so much fun banter and all the questions. And we really want to dive into everything that we've seen so far, including the finale. So yes, if you haven't seen the finale, spoiler alert, we're going to talk about all of it. And I'm so excited to have you, Layla. Welcome to the podcast.
I'm so excited to be on the podcast. Okay, so everybody watching this, Dr. Morgan and I love to text back and forth about what's going on in Love is Blind. And as a non-doctor, I want to ask all the questions that I think are lingering in the back of our minds of trying to understand all of these people and their attachment styles and their love languages. So how do you feel about us going through some of the main couples and then I will ask you the questions and you will tell us straight what we need to understand?
Yeah, let's get into it. This season is so juicy. There's so many attachment style dynamics, so much that we're seeing play out. There is a lot that we can talk about. So yeah, I'm really excited to dive into it with you. Before we get going, I did just want to shout Layla out and her team. I forgot to mention this when I introduced you. She helped me with my podcast rebrand and they did an incredible job. PS Creative. And we'll link everything in the show notes so you can connect with her. But Layla was super helpful in updating my podcast. So I appreciate you and all the work you do. And then I'm so glad we get to be friends now.
I know. I love it. I'm so glad too. The world works in fun ways. Okay. Okay. So without further ado, Matthew AD Amber love triangle. I feel like we didn't get very much of this on TV, but first off, Matthew to me seems like a serial killer. Like, I know that's not the clinical diagnosis, but what are you getting in terms of understanding him?
I wrote down sociopath, narcissist vibes for Matthew. He has that energy, that way of being that feels so calculated, and it's lacking the empathy. And when we think about what is one of the traits of narcissism, it is that lack of empathy for others. And then the way that we see him manipulate Amber and AD, and he's saying the same things to each of them. Matthew gave me goosebumps when I saw him on the screen. It was like, run as far away as you can. This is not a good person to be in a relationship with.
And I think deep down, Amber got that feeling too, because she was instantly like, I am out. I am not continuing down this path with anybody, but definitely not with him. Like, she extricated so fast. And I give AD props because she stuck around and continued to, you know, work through the process. And then that led her obviously to Clay. But I feel like Amber deep down had that like gut feeling. And to me, Amber seemed really securely attached. What do you think?
Yeah, I wish she would have got more screen time. I know that was kind of the feedback. We didn't really get to see her that much, but from what I could tell, it did seem like secure attachment. And what was fascinating to me is I wonder how AD would have responded to Matthew if she could have seen him. Based on the experiment, she couldn't see him. But right. I feel like she's pretty intuitive, and I think she would have picked up on some of this earlier on if she could have actually seen him.
Maybe. I don't know. My feelings on AD are mixed after seeing everything that just played out with her and Clay. But moving on, I'm glad that everybody dodged the Matthew bullet. Like, that was a good one for just both of these ladies. Moving into one of the strangest matches, in my opinion, which is Kenneth and Brittany. I think Brittany is secure and lovely, and it was nice that they both understood each other where they were in terms of religion and sex and all of that. But Kenneth, to me, was as exciting as watching paint dry. Like, I don't know what the attachment style is for being absolutely boring, but what's your take?
So I've seen things that I read online that say that maybe Kenneth was in it for the fame. And I kind of get that sense. I really feel like in the pods, he showed up one way. There was almost this secure, emotionally available facade. And then as soon as they're out of the pods, it's like, where did you go? He's constantly on his phone. We see him stay out that night till 1:30 in the morning. And then I don't like that he almost gaslighted Brittany as she's coming to him. And he's like, what? I'm so into you. I want to make this work. But he hasn't been present. So if I had to give him an attachment style, I would say there's definitely some avoidant attachment going on. And maybe, honestly, lacking a little bit of emotional maturity and not being in a place where he's really ready to show up in a relationship, despite what his words said, his actions did not back that up.
I completely agree with you. And also, I think that there was no physical attraction involved when they were out of the pods. And I mean, she's stunning.
She's stunning.
I don't think he's cute at all. But at the end of the day, like, he did not give her the attention that you would have expected to see through, like, having a strong physical chemistry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Brittany, beautiful. And you know, I think she was really present and wanted to give it a try and seemed like she had attraction on her end. And that's why I really think some of that avoidant attachment is there on his end, because I wonder if he felt insecure about his ability to be a good partner. And when that happens, we pull away and we shut down. And that's really what we saw from him, is that he was just completely shutting down. And I honestly think it could have been some of that insecurity.
That's so interesting, because when I watched, I didn't necessarily see insecurity. But I can see where you're coming from with that now that you say that. Like now that I'm looking back a little bit, to me, it just seemed like absolute disinterest, but perhaps it's insecurity leading him to be that way.
And this is obviously what I'm taking off of what I saw. I wish I could sit each of them down and have an in-depth 90-minute interview assessment. But from what I know about avoidant attachment, it can mask as somebody just not being present. But deep down, it is that insecurity, that fear of I'm not going to be a good partner. So even unconsciously, they're checked out and they're pulling away. So if I had to guess, I think that's what happened here with Kenneth and Brittany.
Okay, let's move on to everybody's favorite couple slash the most boring of the show because they were just so perfect. And yay for them because we love to see it. Amy and Johnny. I feel like this was a match made in secure, happy people heaven. And they aligned on so many of the big important things in life. It wasn't just obviously the attraction that came once they saw each other outside of the pods, but it was like we're both religiously aligned. We both want families. We both care about like being close to our families. I mean, is that kind of, in your opinion, the perfect example of like a great secure relationship?
Amy and Johnny were a great example of secure attachment and what it looks like to date from a securely attached place. Because as you notice, their conversations were about compatibility and lifestyle and what they wanted. It's not about, oh, I don't think you like me, or, some of the other couples, which we'll get to, Chelsea and Jimmy. It wasn't that roller coaster, right? It was, what are our values? What are compatibility? And what I loved about Johnny in particular is he was so honest about the fact that he didn't want kids and how important that was to him. And it was so openly and honestly communicated, and it was so direct, and it was from this problem-solving perspective of let's figure this out together. And they worked through it. That's exactly what I would want a securely attached couple to do. And what I also thought was fascinating, let's look at their families. They both had these peaceful, happy families that are very family oriented, that are very secure. And then we have these two individuals that come together, and they had those models. They had those models of secure attachment from their parents. And of course, it was easier for them to co-create that together. Yes, it was a fairy tale wedding. Boring in terms of reality TV drama, but really, really happy for them and a great example of secure.
I know. I feel like I actually like them more than I liked that season one couple that everybody compares everyone to, Lauren and Cameron. Do you remember them from season
I
one?
do.
And
Okay.
they're
I
so
love Lauren and
cute.
Cameron, though. I love Lauren and Cameron, but
I do too, but I think that like now Amy and Johnny are the new Cameron and Lauren, truly.
yeah, passing on. For sure. They're
So.
awesome. And yeah, Amy got her fairy tale wedding and her fairy tale wedding dress. And it's like, wow, dreams come true, right? It was beautiful.
It was beautiful. I teared up watching. I was like, good for her. I don't even know you, and I'm so happy for you. Okay, now we're gonna get into the juicy stuff. So everybody needs to prepare for the train wreck, in my personal opinion, that is Laura and Jeremy. And by train wreck, I'm really referring to Jeremy here. So she
Yeah.
seemed very genuine to me. I feel like she was an honest communicator in the pods. She didn't seem to portray something that she wasn't. And he, I don't know, like from the second I saw him on camera, and he just gave me the weirdest vibe. And that's like the only way I can truly describe him. He didn't give me necessarily the same Matthew sociopath vibe, but something just seemed a little bit off. And so, as we see play out, him and Sarah Ann out until 5 in the morning, and then he's brushing it off as if it's nothing, which is so demeaning to Laura's feelings. What's your take? Like, where does he fall in this attachment style? Because I don't even know where to start.
Yeah, that was a confusing relationship watching it all play out. I'm with you. I never really liked Jeremy. I have felt that there was a wall from him. And I think a lack of emotional availability, which, okay, if we look at the tea on this, if you're on Reddit or anywhere else on the internet, we're finding out that He was in a full-blown long-term relationship with a fiance who had a daughter, and he was involved in their lives. And then he called it off like right before the show, right? And I don't know all the details, and I don't know if everything is real on the internet, but that would tell me that if someone had just gone through that, they don't have the emotional availability to show up well in a relationship. And I see that from him. And I think also, oh gosh. Maybe I don't know for sure, but maybe a little bit of narcissistic traits. Not a full-blown narcissist, but there are some narcissistic traits, right? Of that lack of empathy for Laura, of you're out all night and that's supposed to just be no big deal. I mean, mind-blowing, right? Just
I
like
know, and
mind-blowing.
they're living together. And the other part that confused me was if other people were going to be there, then why wasn't Laura even invited to go and take part in all that? I don't know. Like that
Yeah.
whole situation in my head was
He lied.
confusing.
He lied to her.
Really?
Oh yeah, so she's grilling him and he says that they were just in the parking lot, but he
Right.
had shared his location with her and she was able to call him out and say, "Look, I looked at your location and I know that you were at Sarah Ann's apartment." But he flat out lied to her initially.
Well, he did say that he dropped her off after he got caught, right? But we don't know how long he like sat there in apparently his car, potentially at her house. So the whole thing just seems so sketchy, and it doesn't bode well for building trust, especially right at the beginning of a relationship. So personally, I think she made the right decision in dodging a walking red flag.
She did. She did. He was not ready to be a fiance. Absolutely not.
And how disrespectful of the scene when Sarah Ann shows up to the barbecue and then they're off gallivanting. I mean, it really shows in my head that this human does not have adult maturity levels any like anywhere close on the spectrum. Like this is stuff you pull when you're, in my opinion, like 16 and you're in high school and you're trying to make somebody jealous out of being a dumb kid. Not something you do as a 30-something-year-old adult.
Yeah, exactly. And the way that he was able to just say, "Oh, I already packed your things." He didn't fight for the relationship. I don't know if he was ever fully in it, right? And then even at the barbecue, this killed me, right? So they have the whole breakup conversation. He's like, "I packed your things. You can come get them." And then he says, "But can we play nice for this barbecue since all our friends are here? And I really want us all to have a good time." And I'm just going, "Oh my gosh." Like the lack of emotional response and reaction, and you're focused on, honestly, in my opinion, he's focused on the cameras, right? He wants a good angle for him. He wants everybody to get along. Instead of, if you were really truly in it, you would have been grieving the loss of your fiance. We did not see that from him.
No, he did not care. His mom was more upset than he was when he told his mom at the dog park. But that just brought me back to a moment with Matthew, and he was in the pods. I think he was talking to AD, and I wrote this down because I wanted to bring it up to you. I've got the country on my side, is what he was telling AD in the pods. And I was like, this just goes to show you are in it for the TV. You are trying to build some kind of narrative so that you can have your 15 minutes of fame after this show. And I'm so glad that Netflix saw through it and like, move along, sir. But something was off with that. And so I'm kind of getting that same feeling with Matthew and Jeremy, where Jeremy's just like, oh, I'm just looking for the fame and all the girls to slide into my DMs when this show is done.
It's time to say goodbye to the cycle of self-doubt, of relationships that don't go anywhere, of low self-worth, of insecure attachment styles, of repeating the same patterns over and over and over again in your love life. And it's time to say hello to becoming the empowered, confident, securely attached version of you who effortlessly attracts the relationship that is meant for her. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And I know that so many of you are doing that in your love lives. I want to invite you to stop the cycle, to take control, whether you're in a relationship or you're dating, wherever you are in your journey to finding healthy love. I know that the Empowered, Secure, Loved program can help you release your past, release your insecure attachment, and become that securely attached version of you who has the kind of relationship that she's always wanted. Do not wait on this. You deserve to heal. You deserve to prioritize you becoming the best version of you. Summer is going to be right around the corner, and I want you to be able to step into your dating life feeling so empowered and excited and ready to meet your person. Give this gift to your future self and take 5 minutes to apply to the Empowered Secure Love program. The link is in the show notes. It's a super easy application process. You'll fill out the app. You'll book a call with my team. They'll answer any questions you have, and you'll determine if the program is the right fit for you. Seriously, do not wait on this. I know I put off my own healing for a decade, and if I could speak to my younger self, I would say, prioritize you now, right? We take ourselves everywhere we go. Only you have the power to change how you're showing up in your relationships, and you deserve to work on that now so that you avoid the future heartache, the people who are emotionally unavailable, the relationships that go nowhere. I don't want to see you wasting your energy in more of those kinds of relationships. Take ownership now. Go to the show notes and apply today. You are going to love this program that has helped over 500 women heal and attract healthy, beautiful relationships. It is everything that you need, A to Z, to become securely attached, and you are supported and held throughout the process. This is a one-of-a-kind program, so don't wait. Go apply. The link is in the show notes. I can't wait to see you inside of the program.
Honestly, I think that Matthew would more fit the criteria for a full-blown narcissist, but Jeremy has some of those traits as well. So yeah, they're kind of heading in that similar direction. And he's wearing sunglasses all the time. The dude's wearing sunglasses in the living room as he's talking to Laura. And I'm just going, okay, make it more obvious that you're lying. Right. It was,
just a train wreck, a train wreck. Okay. Moving on from him. Good for Laura. She seems nice. She seems secure. I'm glad that she's going to get to move on with her life without someone like him in it. This one is a couple that I'm really like all over the map with, and that's AD and Clay. I personally love AD. I think she is such a giver, such a warm-hearted person. To me, she seems super secure, very genuine, very much like I would go above and beyond for you as a friend, as a wife, as anything, like somebody who builds you up. And that Clay was so lucky to have someone like that. But in my head, watching this, Clay never seemed like he was like really amped about AD. It was like, thank you for being my emotional support animal and like all that kind of stuff, but it never seemed like romantic to me. What do you think?
Oh, this is such a juicy couple, and I'm with you. I love AD, and my heart really goes out to her in that finale where she's crying and she's in that drop dead gorgeous, you know, the gown that she has, beautiful. And she says something like, I'm so sick and tired of helping a man heal and like doing the work for a man. And I think she really truly felt that of she did. She showed up into that relationship and she helped him become a better person. And I honestly think that Clay was in love with AD. I really believe that he was. And at the same time, he had blocks. And he had blocks where it's like he would look at the block and he would name it his childhood trauma, right? He's like, oh yeah, there's this reason why I can't fully invest.
And then pause while you're on that. Do you feel like him being able to even identify that that is something for him is actually a positive sign?
I think it was a positive sign until it's like he just decided to run into it over and over again and be like, there's my block, not, ooh, what could I do with this? How can I work through it? What do I need in order to work through this? It was, and this is where some of the avoidant attachment strategies come in. It was a way to rationalize the distancing and the pulling away
And I think it was so frustrating because we all have relational trauma or childhood trauma that we've had to work through. Mm-hmm. And we see this person who's identified it, but instead of saying, oh, there it is, I want to work on it, he said, there it is, let me use that as my excuse to pull away, which is what we see in avoidantly attached relationships.
So let's dive into them a little bit deeper, because now we're getting down to like our major, major discussions of, I mean, attachment. And for me watching it, I thought really as the final episode was starting that he was going to go through with it. I knew she was going to. I definitely knew. She was so excited. But truly, I feel like she was blindsided. Like she definitely thought yes. He was going to say yes, or I do, or whatever it is. And based on the conversations he had with his family, I 1,000,000% thought he was going to. Were you surprised that he walked away?
Hey, so I have an interesting theory. I don't know how right I am, but this is just in watching it, okay? Mm-hmm. I honestly thought that when his dad was there and he's interacting with his dad and then he's seeing his mom and dad together, I could see a shift in him. I could see his body language change. And I think that by having all his childhood traumas right there, his parents are right there, by having that at the forefront, that caused him to change. So as I saw him walking down the aisle, I thought something's off. This is something's not going to go well. And then I got hopeful again with his beautiful speech. He gives this amazing speech. AD gives the best speech of all time in the history of Love is Blind. AD gets the best altar speech of all time. And I got really hopeful for a second. And then I thought, oh no, oh no.
I know. I could see the shift a little bit too while he was at the altar. And I'm like, oh, she's going to get her heart stomped on now. But before he walked down the aisle, I was like 95% sure that they were going to be a sure thing. And I had texted you the night before my predictions, because I was like, let me have these in writing so that we can compare what we predict to what happens. And in my prediction, the only people who made it down the aisle happily and both said yes were Amy and Johnny. And in my head, Clay and AD weren't going to make it, because it didn't feel like Clay was as attracted to AD as he needs to be. She's obviously stunning. He's got to be blind if that's just not his flavor or something. But there was just like some kind of physical part that I felt like we couldn't see. And it was really clear to me when they were painting the shoes, like that activity seemed just like a little off. Did you get any of those vibes?
I definitely felt like AD was more present in all the scenes that we saw. Once they became a couple, like she's there, she's in it, she's fully invested. And it seemed like, you know, we got a lot about, oh, Clay's got to work. He's got to go run his Airbnb in the jet ski business or whatever he's doing, right? He's a busy man. Like that's kind of the vibe we got for Clay. So I do think overall he was not as present. He was not as invested. I don't think it was from lack of love. I think it was the fear and the avoidant attachment coming up, and he was able to rationalize it by saying, oh, it's because I'm really busy. Oh, it's because I don't know that I'd be a good husband. I look myself in the mirror and I just don't know that I'd be a good husband. And he's rationalizing his pulling away.
Well, he also said at the end, he goes, am I deeply in love with AD? No. And I was like, wow, I can't believe he just said that on camera. Like if I were her watching this, I would be devastated.
Yeah. And I honestly feel that was, and I could be wrong on this. I'd have to talk with him, but I honestly feel that it was in that flight mode that he was in, that he said that in the moment. I really do believe that there was love between them.
Then afterwards, he talks with her and then she's like, you need to go. And then afterwards, he's like, he was like, I'm mad at myself. I'm like embarrassed. Like, you know, he had kind of that remorse and it felt genuine in that moment. But I don't know. I feel like there's just a lot of healing that needs to happen in order for him to be able to be in a committed, serious, secure relationship. What do you think?
I agree. And I think we saw this with Clay's mom, which shout out Clay's mom. She had an incredible scene where she calls out his dad and says, hey, you know, you had me, but you did not treat me well. And she also says, you need to clear some things up with your son. You need to apologize. No excuses. Take accountability. And I believe in that. I believe that there is unfinished business between Clay and his dad that's been swept under the rug for probably his entire life. And that needs to be resolved. And that's going to help him significantly. And I have this question in my mind, Layla, of if he had not been at the wedding, would have they gotten married? I honestly feel that his presence was part of the wheels are turning, the trauma's getting triggered. I don't know. And the way that he said it was a game time decision.
That was bad. That right there was such a, like, 85 red flags all at once waving like this. Like, do not pass go. Not okay. But here's the other part about Clay's dad is that the interactions make it seem that even though Clay's dad was cheating on his mom and taking Clay with him in his younger years, that Clay looks up to his dad so much and he like kind of has this idolization of him. And so that kind of skews. It's like, I know you did really bad things to my mom, but I look at you and like, I aspired to beat you in track and field and you pushed me to be like a champion. And yeah. You know, he gave that really good speech about like making decisions. And, you know, I can't even remember how he did it, but he did it like he was on stage speaking to like an audience. And I was like, okay, I can see how this guy is charming and, you know, would have such a power over his son. But you're right. Maybe if he wasn't there, it would have been different. And he kept saying, I didn't think you were going to come. Thank you for coming. So I found that to be a little interesting as well.
I know. And honestly, this is the complexity of parental relationships where there are ways that they're wonderful. And it sounds like he was a great dad and he was not a good role model for a healthy marriage, right? So Clay is really wrestling with that. This human was a wonderful father to me, but was not a good husband. How do I reconcile that? And there is a lot there to be healed. And at the same time, I do believe that with the right support that he could have said, you know what, that was my dad's experience. That doesn't have to be mine. I just wanted to go through the screen and yell at him and say, your parents' relationships do not determine your relationships. We could make that decision.
So true. And I mean, Clay's mom laid it out just like you just said. Yeah. And I really wish that had helped the scenario, but you know, I read some of the tea and it sounds like AD and Clay might still be together. So we'll have to check back after the reunion next week and get a pulse on where do these two stand. But I'm so with you on them. Okay. But now it is time to dedicate the rest of our time together into the juicy, juicy. And I want to start here with Jess and Jimmy. Okay, I thought Jess was an excellent character. I felt like she was secure and confident, a direct communicator. She really laid it all out for Jimmy. And to be honest, when I was watching, I was like, I don't know if you should be giving this man as much as you're giving because I don't feel like you're getting anywhere close to that in return. But, you know, she was taking it seriously and putting herself really out there. And I give that so much credit. What do you think, before we get into the attachments, what do you think really spooked him off of her and over into Chelsea's arms? Like, what was that turning point in your mind?
Two things. Finding out that she had a daughter, and we can talk about that. And then the other piece was how they handled conflict. They had one bad argument, and it seems like Jimmy shut down, and Jess called him out on it, and he did not like being called out for shutting down. I think we'll talk so much about Jimmy because we'll talk about him and Chelsea too. But I think Jimmy is someone where he has secure attachment as part of his attachment style, maybe 50% secure, but then he definitely has these avoidant tendencies as well. So
I was getting anxious out of him as his second. I was like, I can see some secure, but here's what I thought was anxious. And I was like, Dr. Morgan's going to lay this one out for me. He seems like he's a guy who's never had a girlfriend who said, I love you. Because when Chelsea was like, I love you, I love you, I love you. He was like, oh my God, that's like everything I need. If a girl tells me like they love me, then like that's genuinely like the only barrier to entry to being with me. Like that's how I felt as a watcher. And to me, that's an anxious kind of thing. Like you have to like constantly reinforce. But maybe love language is just words of affirmation and he is avoidant. So guide us through that a little bit.
Yeah, I think we saw different versions of Jimmy, right? The version that he was with Chelsea is different than how he was with Jess. Mm-hmm. And I think Jimmy with Jess, he was really struggling with how do I show up? How do I communicate directly? He couldn't match her in her communication. I think Jimmy was the type where he needs a lot of processing. He needs to really think about what his emotions are. And Jess is like, hey, straight shooter. So I definitely noticed that. And I can see where you're getting some of the anxious. I think Jimmy with Chelsea, we saw some of that anxious come out.
Yeah. And I don't think we saw that at all with Jess. You're right.
No.
Okay, this is going to be a kind of a rude question, but had Jess said, hey, people think that I look like Megan Fox, do you think that would have kept Jimmy in the game a little bit longer?
That's such a good question. This experiment was not supposed to be about looks, right? Like, how did this happen? The Megan Fox debacle. I don't know. I don't know how much of Jimmy's decision was swayed by what he thought Chelsea looked like. I think he was weighing his options. And when he's thinking about, oh, Chelsea's been divorced, but she looks like Megan Fox. And then I've got Jess, who has a daughter, and I'm not sure how I feel about that. And I don't know what she looks like. I think that might have had an influence on Chelsea, absolutely. And Jimmy, I don't think he was ready emotionally to show up as a stepdad. I honestly think he couldn't articulate that well. And he kind of had this facade of, it's going to be great. And tell me your name. And I want to get to know your daughter. But I think in the depths of his brain, there was thoughts about, I'm not ready to be a dad. I don't know how to be a dad. And if he had been able to be secure and voice that, he could have possibly talked through that with Jess. Instead of 100%. What we see, this conflict, and then him pulling away.
I totally agree with you on that. But I do think that if Jess had said, I look like Megan Fox, which, like, I don't think either of them do, but I'm just saying, had she put that imagery in his mind, I think that could have swayed things a very different direction than him going to Chelsea. But I also think that after he had that tough conversation with Chelsea and she was direct and they had that argument or whatever you want to call that conflict, he then goes and Chelsea's like, baby, what's wrong? And I think, no offense to all the men who listen to this, I think men love to be coddled. And so it was just like, crawl into my hand. And she knew who she was competing with as well. So I think that Chelsea was a little bit calculated. Not like, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I kind of think that there was, I don't know, some interesting things going on behind the scenes there. What do you think about that?
I think, gosh, they're both beautiful, right? And I mean, when you look at Jess, she looks like a Barbie doll. Like, she has this perfect image. So I can imagine, even unconsciously, Chelsea might have let that slip about Megan Fox, just as like, a, I don't know, as a way to try to get more investment from Jimmy. I don't think it was conscious. It could have been.
Okay. Touche. I feel like the jury is out on that for sure. And I know that she probably regrets it now because she's gotten so much like flack just for all of that.
I do want to talk about, we have to talk about one of the most iconic moments of the season though, with Jess, where she says, when you see me, you're going to need a EpiPen because your airways will close because you can't breathe. Right. This was iconic TV.
That was the best Love is Blind. Like, I'm never going to speak to you again. Like, I'm leaving this pod and you're out of my life moment I've ever seen. And we've seen a lot of people get two people are interested in one and then one person does not get picked. But I mean, that delivery, 10 out of 10, girl. Like,
well,
I have so much. I mean, is it a little cocky? Yes, because in my mind, she's saying, because she's like, I know how Love is Blind works. You're going to see me later. And you're going to be like, oh my gosh, I have such regret because you are like the real deal. You're smart and, you know, a great mom and you're gorgeous and you really have it together. Like, you're a whole package if you want to say it that way. So yeah, and I'm going to jump into the next thing once you give me your opinion, but I think that he probably did need an EpiPen after he met her at the barbecue based on what he said to her. And I'm going to ask you all about that because I wrote that down. I was like, this is a flag.
Yeah. I love Jess. And I honestly, after hearing her childhood, here's my take on her attachment style. I believe that she developed a disorganized attachment style at one point in her life, and she's been recovering and building up a lot of secure attachment. So we saw her show up pretty secure. But in that moment where she's getting rejected by, and it's like the discard, right? Or almost you could call it a protest behavior of, I want to tear you down and tear you down quick and make you feel bad, right? So, yeah. So we see some of that residual, honestly, I believe some of the impacts from childhood trauma coming out in how she handled that goodbye. Because while it was amazing TV, that was not a healthy relationship goodbye.
No, not even close. Not even close. But I mean, we needed the drama. Like, we needed something to spice this up. So I'm going to give her a pass as a TV viewer. I'm like, thank you. That was a great moment. But clinically, I hear what you're saying, Doc. I hear you. Okay. So Jimmy, red flag waving. We are at the barbecue now, and he's seen Jess, and, you know, everybody just looks flustered. They sit down and they talk, and he says, I mean, at least this is what it sounded like. I listened to it three times. I was like, wait, what? That you're still my number one. Is that what he actually said?
Did he say that?
I swear. I replayed it three times just to be sure that I wasn't going to say something on it. He's like, if I'm being honest, you're still my number one. And I was like, how is she supposed to respond to that? Like, what?
Okay. I need to go back and watch it. I think all of us will now. I do think even without that comment, seeing them interact, you can just tell, right? The chemistry's there. The spark is there.
Yeah.
And I know, so Jess went on the Veil Files and was saying that she was not attracted to Jimmy, but I call BS. I saw them interacting in person, and there was definitely that attraction there.
I think there's also the personality attraction piece, right? Like, when you really get to know somebody and then you see them, they might not physically like check off every box, but there's like that draw, that feeling that you really can't put into words. And you're like, oh my gosh, like I feel it. And like, you could see it written all over both of their faces at the lake barbecue scene.
Yes.
But when he made that comment about being number one, I was just like, I was blown away, because 5 minutes before that, he's kissing Chelsea on the cheek as she's talking to Trevor. And that seemed just like obviously a power play, because to me, I'm like, if you could see people and it wasn't Love is Blind, everybody would have went running to Trevor. He's so cute and charming.
I know. We need to talk about him too. Let's talk about him next. And I will say, I think that was a red flag with Jimmy, how he interacted with Jess. If he was really, really fully in on Chelsea, I don't know that he would have had that depth of conversation and vulnerability, and just it was too much if you're engaged to someone else.
I agree. I totally agree. Let's talk about Trevor. I think he's such a doll. I feel like he's so secure and so genuine. And yes. I don't feel like his conversation when he met Chelsea was all that inappropriate. I feel like he just was looking for a little bit of closure, of understanding like where he lost in the battle. You know what I mean? Which I think is a very natural thing to want to know. Like, when did the tables turn on me? But tell me your take on him.
So I love Trevor from everything that we saw on the show. I love him. I loved how he showed up. He was reliable, consistent, steady. And I think Chelsea, that was not her blueprint for love. That was what she would have done better with. That's really what she needs. She needs a Trevor. She needs a stable, stable man, right? But I love Trevor. Now, have you heard the tea on Trevor, though?
No, tell me everything.
Okay. So I don't know how true this is, but there is a lot out there saying that he was engaged right as he was going to go on the show, that he was in or at least it was a very, very serious relationship, and that he got back together with her immediately after the show, and then apparently broke up with her again when he went to go film Perfect Match. So
he's
this
on
guy,
Perfect Match?
or yes, I think he is going to be in the future. Yeah. So this guy that showed up and I like won our hearts. He seems so securely attached. Now we get all this backstory and I don't know what to believe. And I don't know if it's true, but I'm just putting that out there.
I hate that. If it's true, that makes me so sad. Because I literally even watched most of his scenes with my sweet old father. And my dad was like, Trevor is the best guy on this show. I just love him. Besides, obviously, Amy and Johnny. My dad was in love with them. But, you know, it's crazy because he came across so genuine. But maybe he is just a fame seeker. And, like, signing himself up for the reality TV circuit now versus actually really wanting to be in love.
The reunion is going to be juicy and they better ask him about this girlfriend. I need to know if it's real or not. I honestly don't know.
I feel like we're going to have to do a follow-up after we get all the tea confirmations. It's just like mind-blowing stuff.
I know.
Okay. So then we now have to give Chelsea the final 15 minutes of this episode because it's just necessary. Chelsea, to me, from the second I saw her in the pods to the second the show ended, was so cringe. Like, everything she did made me cringe. It felt like she was confident in the pod, more so confident in the pods, right? It's like you have got the confidence behind the closed door, but then in the face-to-face interactions, it was insecure, anxious, clingy, annoying, accusatory, just everything you wouldn't want in a girlfriend. I feel like she was like just trying to check it off the list. It's like, to me, how to lose a guy in 10 days, like she was genuinely living that out.
Oh, I have so much compassion for Chelsea. And I know what you're saying. And it was hard to watch. It was hard to watch. I think her anxious attachment is gotta be probably one of, I'd have to look at all the past people on the seasons, but I might give her most anxiously attached of any Love is Blind contestant. And I really feel for her because, yeah, it impacted how she showed up. And there's things about her that are so lovable as well. I think she's cute. She's quirky. She is beautiful. She's her full self. But when
I totally agree. She is beautiful and I can see the redeeming like qualities. She seems like a nice girl to be a friend with and all of that. But when it came to some of these scenes with Jimmy, like the one that I want to bring up first was she was like, I was being cranky. You're gone for an hour and I can't believe someone from the pod saw you. And then I can't believe that you like went out. And he's like, it was 1 hour of the entire day. And then all of a sudden they're arguing about all that nonsense. And then she goes, you were with Jess. And it's like, how do you jump from like, he went out for an hour to like, now he's with the girl that he did not choose from the pods. Like that to me was such a red flag for him.
Like, yeah.
What do you think was going on there?
That is a classic anxious attachment spiral where there's this trigger, something that happens, and then your brain runs with it and you start creating all these stories. Because she says, yeah, oh, you were with Jess. And then she goes to Jimmy's friend who he had slept with. And then she throws that randomly in his face and is like, you slept with her. And I'm like, whoa, who are we talking about? But she was very unfortunately in that thought spiral of worst case scenario just constantly. And it all came out and she was not able to emotionally regulate enough to hear Jimmy. It was like he could say whatever and she just couldn't take it in, right? She was already on that anxious attachment spiral.
I mean, just so bad. Where do you go when you work? He's like, I work from home. Like, what?
And here's what I want to acknowledge. People with this attachment style, a lot of times it's based on past trauma. So I think we can acknowledge Chelsea's experienced some painful relationships in the past. And it's just so unfortunate that she wasn't able to set those aside, right? And then show up with a blank slate for Jimmy and be in reality. It's really helpful to be in reality when you're in a relationship instead of a false narrative of what could be happening, right?
That's such a good point. Like the other part that I didn't like about that entire interaction was the next day and he's sitting on the sofa and she walks in and they are talking and he's just like, I don't really want to do this anymore. And then they work through it
And then she says, I feel more in love with you after last night than I've felt so far. And I'm like, how does such a toxic interaction where you were clearly the one in the wrong end up making you feel closer? Was it that she's just seeking this validation from him and this attention?
She's so complex in this. And I honestly think that that fits her blueprint for what a relationship is, creating that kind of chaos, that emotional unavailability. And when you do this thing called repetition compulsion, where you repeat similar dynamics over and over, hoping for a different result, when you get that idea of, oh, this person is going to choose me, this is going to work out, that can feel like a very bonding experience. So I think in those moments when Jimmy was able to still choose her, right, and he's not at his limit, she's feeling this, oh my gosh, this is the time it works out for me. This time it's going to be different. And I think that that really made her fall in love with him more deeply. And once again, I always like to separate the person from their attachment style. And her anxious attachment, it sabotaged this. It completely sabotaged it.
That's what I was thinking too. I was like, he keeps trying. I feel like I gave Jimmy a lot of credit through his relationship with her because he kept coming back and being like, let me try and give this another chance. Let me give this another chance, you know? And it just, at a certain point, you know, you guys have known each other for what, 2 weeks? Like, you cannot pull out this many crazy cards and expect the guy to just collect them and like walk down the aisle with it. Do you know what I mean? Like, just exhausting.
Yeah, I do think that there had been too much damage. They did not create secure attachment. Even though they kind of repaired, they didn't really. And Jimmy really did have a lot of securely attached qualities, and he had some avoidant attachment strategies. And what happens is when you have an anxious person and they're met with avoidant attachment, that makes them more anxious. So yes. Jimmy was like gasoline to her anxious attachment fire. And wow, it did go up in flames at the end.
It really did go up in flames at the end. So as we're getting towards the end, she, after that fight, when they're making up, she was like, I almost took this ring off so that you would see it. And I'm like, that's just so unnecessary to say. Like, to me, he really tried to handle her with such a calm demeanor, even when she was going off the rails. And I think he deserves credit on that one. Like,
yes.
He didn't really match the crazy.
He really did his best to show up secure. And I think he does deserve a lot of credit. And those are protest behaviors. What Chelsea's doing there, she's saying, hey, I'm going to take the ring off. And then what I want is for you to come to me and say, oh, what can I do to make it better? I love you so much, right? It's her, yeah. It's a passive aggressive way to try to get reassurance, but actually it backfires and makes him pull away more. And then what do you think about his decision to not even go to the altar?
So I read that Netflix, if you get engaged and you don't wait to make your decision as you walk down the altar, you either get charged 50 grand or you had to get permission from producers in order to do this. And I read this from somebody who was on the show before, and they like kind of outlined the whole thing. So they said that with Kenneth and Brittany, for example, that they had gotten permission. They'd already broken up and they'd already talked to producers. And then they had to reenact the scene for all of us so that they wouldn't have to continue and go through the whole wedding debacle when they already knew that like they were not, both of them were not going to say yes. So what we saw on camera, I don't think was like the true breakup scene. But then when it came to Chelsea and Jimmy, I'm shocked that producers did not force them to wait to make that choice. But I think that he finally put his foot down, and that's the reason why it ended where it ended, in my opinion, when it comes to like how you orchestrate the television show. I was a little confused. I knew that he wasn't going to say yes if they did walk down the aisle. I just gut feeling knew it. And I knew that she would because she, yeah, you know, has been very anxious and like clingy, needy, whatever you want to call it. When they were doing all their pre-wedding stuff, like the ice stuff and all of that, he seemed like he was like really gung-ho, like I'm in. And then when you sit down for dinner and he was just like, it's a hard no, I like almost fell out of my chair. What was your thoughts?
I do think that that was confusing. And I imagine if I was Chelsea, I would have felt a little bit blindsided. I mean, we see them have this incredible day. They're on this roller coaster together, which, by the way, is a great metaphor for their relationship because it was an emotional roller coaster. And yeah, the ice thing that they did, they seemed really happy and in love. Here's what I'm so curious about. Jimmy says, even as he's saying no, that he's in love with her. I want to know your opinion on this. Mm-hmm. He's like, I love you so much. I love you so much. Was he trying to say, let's work on this? And then Chelsea like spiraled it really quickly. And then it was like a hell no. Or do you think he was completely done at that point?
I think he was like absolutely done. There's no walking me back down this direction whatsoever. That's how I took it. I never also thought, like, from the second they met outside of the pods, I never really thought he liked her. Like, I think he was just trying to do the right thing, but there was no attraction. Like, there was literally no physical chemistry in any of their scenes. He was really trying to put his best foot forward. And that could be a part of America's watching, and I don't want everyone to hate me, but I didn't feel it. Like, you could just see him when they first met, like, glazed over, like, you know, deer in headlights.
It's interesting. It's interesting. Because then on the other hand, we see him bring her to his family and it seems really genuine. And he talks about how much he loves her. And I mean.
But okay, Dr. Morgan, have you ever been in a relationship where you're really trying to talk yourself into it because you're like, this is a nice person and they check off a lot of boxes and like, you know, they're going to get along well with my family. And, you know, we've got this amazing experience. Like, what a story. You know what I'm saying? And like, they're attractive. They might not be my type, but like, they're attractive. Like, have you ever been in that position of like, really trying to talk yourself?
I can see that. Yes, I have. And I know what that feels like. And I wonder if he had those feelings in the beginning. And then he kind of slowly actually went full all in. But then as soon as we saw the anxious spirals from Chelsea, he's like back out. I don't know. It would have been really fascinating to be his therapist during that time. Cause I would have wanted to know exactly where his head was at. I do think he really loved her. And then it's up for debate. Was he fully physically attracted to her? This is my person, you know? I don't know.
To me, I think he wanted to be in love. I don't really feel like he was truly, truly in love. Like, he really wanted it though. And like, he loved that she was always saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. To me, he was like a puppy dog who'd never been told I love you. And so every time she would say it, he would like come running a little bit faster. And so that was like feeding him in some way. And maybe that's some past relationship drama where he was more into somebody and they never said, I love you, you know, like something like that kind of manifesting into the present. But even when they got to Mexico and they got into that tiff and she was just like, I don't even remember what she was mad about, but they got through it. And then they both agreed that they were better afterwards. I was like, this is the beginning of the end, in my opinion.
Yeah. I knew as soon for me, I knew they were done after that time when he went out for the hour and then she reacted the way that she did. So I just knew there was no way that they could repair. I think the whole time I was kind of rooting for Chelsea, like, hey girl, calm down, move to a securely attached place. This man wants to love you. He's going to be good. You know, like I was kind of rooting for her, but we just never saw her get there. We never saw her get there. And 2 weeks is a short time. It's hard to do that in 2 weeks.
I know. And I think about had she wound up with Trevor, he seemed like the kind of guy who would have given her a lot more of the affirming words that I think she was looking for in return a lot more often from Jimmy. And I think, you know, like in their brief encounter at the barbecue, I think three times Trevor was like, I mean, you're hot, you're gorgeous, like you're good looking. He gave her those things. And she never really got that from Jimmy. Yeah. Like she walked up to Jimmy and she's like, you can't wear pants like that. Like you're so hot. You know, she would give him that kind of attention and affirmation, but I never really saw it on the flip side. And I think, especially when you're anxious, you like crave and need that. And maybe if you get more of it, you're not going to stir up drama in order to get that person to give you what you want.
Absolutely. I fully believe that Trevor was what Chelsea needed, but she went with what matched her blueprint for love, which was Jimmy.
So, how do you figure out the blueprint?
Well, this is where I come in.
I know. So, like, tell us, like, how do you figure that out?
Well, it's really important to understand your attachment style. It's really important to understand your beliefs about relationships, your beliefs about yourself, and to be able to say, okay, I'm going to choose differently and build a securely attached identity that then allows you to show up differently. That's in a nutshell what I would have loved to do with Chelsea.
You know, this is off the topic, but it reminds me of the Dallas couple, Alexis and Brennan. And they were so cute. They were the first to get
Yes.
engaged, first to get married. They're pregnant now. They actually live down the street from me in Dallas. And I think that she is such a great example of showing up secure, like very cool with like, I'm a curvy girl and I own it and like, I'm good with it. And he is so good at just being like a secure rock with that. And
Yes.
I think what we saw a lot of on TV, and maybe I'm wrong, but was that Chelsea had insecurities about her appearance, about being taller and being curvier, and she hadn't really come to accept that part of that's who she is. And so I think that also stemmed and led into a lot of anxious behavior when it came to how she interacted with Jimmy.
Absolutely. The relationship with yourself, the beliefs that you have about yourself, that's going to really show up in your relationships. And I agree that I think Chelsea would really benefit, as so many of us women would, right? Really benefit from coming to a place of acceptance and love with our
Yeah.
bodies.
I also don't think it helped that the first thing Jimmy said when they saw each other was she had nice teeth.
Oh my gosh, that was challenging.
Was
That
that
was
not
awkward.
so cringe? I was like, oh, you did not just say she has nice teeth. That's so weird.
Oh, yeah, that was not good. I will say, just, and this is just kind of fun, but I loved the way that she ran to him.
I thought like she kept calling herself a little T-Rex, and now I can't get it out of my head.
I know. It was like this little, like, so giddy and just like, oh my gosh. And it really is. It's like that anxious energy of like, don't leave me, don't leave me. I'm here, you
I
know?
know.
And oh, I just have so much compassion for her, and I think it's a really good lesson to anyone who is showing up that way in a relationship. Hey, let's pause. Let's change how we show up before we go and sabotage something.
That's such a good point. And that's why the work that you do is so critical because it's tough. There's a lot of different things to work through. And if you want to be able to show up, A, I think that if you're insecure with who you are as a person, that's going to bleed into every relationship that you have, especially one with someone like romantically.
Yes.
And we've seen that through and through on Love is Blind. And I mean, you also see it manifest in the men just in different ways.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, should we wrap this up with a takeaway from the different couples on what we learned from each couple?
Yes. Okay. Let's start off with Kenneth and Brittany. What did we learn?
I said, trust your gut when they're not present. That you're not wrong for wanting someone who can fully show up for you.
I was like, physical attraction is important and we shouldn't ignore it.
I love that. True.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Let's bump over to Amy and Johnny.
I said true love is about open, honest, direct communication, and sometimes you do get your fairy tale.
I love that. I love that. To me, it was she was able to take like all of her friends were like, he's not your type. And she completely let all of that thing, all these types from before meeting him, she completely let it go. And she fully embraced exactly who he was because she saw him for the amazing person and the amazing match that he was. And that a lot of us need to let go of types. And that's the biggest takeaway in that one.
Ooh, that's a juicy one. I like that. Absolutely.
Okay, Laura and Jeremy.
I did not have anything too profound for this one. I literally wrote down Laura deserved better.
This made me really not like Hawaiian shirts, to be honest. Like,
I had that same thought. No more Hawaiian shirts. I guess another one too, if you need location sharing in early stages of dating, that might be a red flag.
I'm engaged and I don't have my location shared with my
I
fiance. I've never
know.
even thought to ask that. Like,
If you
that to me
need it,
already screams red flag. But to me, the biggest takeaway is if someone shows you their red flags, don't ignore it. Don't collect them and don't ignore it.
absolutely. And Laura did a good job of that. I'm so glad she didn't fight for it. Oh, she did the right thing.
She did. She really did. Okay. AD and Clay.
Here's my take. Unresolved childhood trauma, when not dealt with, can sabotage your adult romantic relationships.
My takeaway is that, ladies, if you're ever in a relationship similar to what we saw with AD and Clay, don't blame yourself. Like, she kind of blamed herself at the end of why am I always the one doing the fixing? And it's like, no, you deserve all the good things. It's not you. You know, like, other people's drama and internal problems are really theirs. It's not a reflection back on you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that.
Okay, let's do Jess and Jimmy, even though they didn't make it.
What would I say about Jess and Jimmy? Okay. How you handle conflict is everything. Can you repair? I think that was a real big missing piece in their connection.
I'm gonna have to go with the exact same thing. He didn't seem like he was ready to really deal with conflict at all, ever.
Yes.
So, and she's like, I have a kid, like, I have to keep it moving here, you know? Okay, and then I feel like our last one is Chelsea and Jimmy. What did we learn?
That anxious attachment can absolutely sabotage your relationship. If it's not dealt with, it can totally push someone away.
I agree. I completely agree that you've got to get that under control. And I think the best way of doing that is working with someone like you, Dr. Morgan, because it's a hard thing to just snap and change on your own.
Yeah, it is. And that, yeah, I have so much compassion for her. I think if she had learned how to self-soothe, if she'd let go of some of her past trauma, change some of her relationship beliefs, like just some of the few things that I help people do, I really think she could have had a different experience. So yeah,
I mean,
it's so
you have
important.
other past former Love is Blind folks who have been through your program. So you never know. Maybe this is that jump off point for her. Because Chelsea, I know that
Chelsea.
I said you were very cringe, but we both think that you're a good person, you're
Yes.
beautiful, and you just
You
have to
have
find that inner confidence.
so much love to give. That's one thing about Chelsea, right? Like she's so loyal. She has so much love to give. When she can move herself to a bit more of a secure place, she's going to relax and enjoy love. And that's what I really want for her, that she could enjoy love. So I'll slide into her DMs, be like, "Hey girl, I'm here to help with
I love
love. I
it.
would love to help her." Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for letting me grill you on all of these like different dynamics that we just watched unfold over the past couple of weeks. I appreciate you. I appreciate the work you do, and you're making such a difference in everybody's life. So keep going, girl.
I appreciate you. This was so much fun. We
So
may
much
have to
fun.
do a part two after we watch the reunion. Oh my gosh, I think we'll have to.
I think we have to too, because I think there's gonna be so many bombshells that we just don't have any capacity to understand yet.
Yes. And I promise all of you who are like, "When is Dr. Morgan going to stop talking about Love is Blind?" Don't worry. We will get back to our regularly scheduled programming pretty soon. I'll be back to everything attachment theory. But I could not ignore this season because of all the attachment style dynamics. It was like a
Well, and this was
master
the
class.
best season that we've had in years.
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
So, I
Absolutely.
mean, it really was captivating. We've talked about every season prior to this, and I think Seattle was like the most boring thing I've ever seen on TV in my entire life. I don't remember anyone who was on it. And then this one was just like everybody was back in on the Love is Blind game again of just wow, you know, because it felt like some of these people really could work out. And I think that's
For
what
sure.
keeps you going.
I will say from Seattle, I liked Brett and Tiffany. They were my favorite couple. They're secure.
Are they still
Love
together?
them. Yes, they're still together. They're going strong. But I hear you. This season was juicy, so we had to talk about it. Thank you.
Okay, wait. Pause, 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 pause. I saw that the next season is going to be people who didn't find love coming back. And like in the trailer I saw on Instagram last night from Love is Blind or from Netflix, one of the two, I saw a picture of Bartice, who is like the one who I forget who he was
Oh,
matched with.
no, Nancy. No, 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 no.
Yeah. Matched with Nancy, but he was into Raven. That whole debacle, he popped right up. One of these other blonde gals who I can't remember, but it literally was people from prior seasons, and I guess they're gonna try and do it with all of them. The question in my head is, won't they be able to figure out based on like voice and whatnot that like,
They'll know who each other are. That really defeats the purpose.
so I think that's what's coming next. So we might have another really interesting season on our hands.
Oh, not Bartiz. Oh Lord. He might need a whole episode if that happens. Well, this has been so much fun, Layla. Thank you so much for joining me on the show.
Thank you, girl, and I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day.
Oh, thank you. And of course, everyone listening, we appreciate you. And if you're watching this on YouTube, love it. Make sure you leave us a comment. Let us know your thoughts. And also, as always, I'm wishing you high self-worth and great relationships. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks for tuning in. I really appreciate each and every one of you. The best way you can thank me is by sharing this episode on Instagram or Facebook. Make sure you tag me. It would mean the world to me if you took just a moment to leave me a written review on Apple Podcasts. This podcast is not free to produce, and the more that you help this show grow, the more people will be able to help. Until next time, I'm wishing you high self-worth and great relationships. Thank you for being part of this community.